Signs of the Southland, March 27th, 2023. Folks, this is episode 162. Other than the, episodes that we forgot to count, Signs is officially a Major League Baseball season old in terms of episodes.
Do we have to
That's
play a
far
tie?
too many episodes.
Do we have to play a tiebreaker game to win the division?
Real longtime fans will remember when we made it just a recap show of football for about 8 weeks. I think I like our current format a little bit better, getting back over the mountain. So,
Mean, we did a recap format for 8 weeks and then lost to the Citadel and then talked about Cyprus for 2 episodes.
and then we
I
became
don't
a
know.
volleyball podcast, and now we're here.
I like the volleyball podcast time. That was a fun time.
Hey, that we're still a volleyball
Hey,
podcast at heart. It just happens to be March.
we were very much a volleyball podcast last fall with some other sports that coincidentally happened.
I do want to thank everyone for, sticking with us. If you've been around 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, or 162, it really does mean a lot. And I think I speak for everyone who's been, a guest, a host, all that over the years, that supporting this is something that we like to do to shine a little light on, all of Georgia Tech, particularly those sports that may not get a lot of airtime elsewhere. They I think, Jack, I'm not sure if it was worded this way to you, but when I offered my services to From the Rumble Seat, I said, "Hey, you guys don't really talk about like swimming and tennis and stuff." And they're like, "Okay, great, you do it." And I feel like this is the
I think
spiritual,
I think that's what I
the
told
ear
you. I
equivalent
told
of
you
that,
that,
right?
and then they're like, "Oh, great." So I just unknowingly copied your exact same pitch, and then it worked out. So
Well, and if anyone has any insights they'd like us to take, we're coming up on the summer, so we're gonna have a lot of flexibility, and then as always, we'll plan out next year to kind of how we strategize. So, as always, from the rumble seat at gmail.com, you can, tweet us, all those good things, all the usuals that I say at the end. Just let us know, right? We're here for you, and we appreciate all the support over 162.
yeah, Jack and Jake are good, three and four hole hitters. I just manage. I just say some things occasionally and get tossed like Bobby Cox. That's generally my
Incredible.
vibe.
Incredible.
Hey, I would love to throw Akshay off a podcast for the memes
Oh
someday,
my
but that would
goodness.
also make me the ump, and I don't think that really fits in your metaphor. So
Did y'all
this is a
see what
fair.
happened to wait, if it's if, just don't be like the ump that threw out JT Realmuto today.
Yeah, what happened
Oh.
there? I was like taking the train back from work, and
So
I
the
saw
ump
like
so the ump
everybody
with
tweeting about it or
the so I
whatever.
mean JT's just getting a ball back from the umpire, like as you would when you're in the crouch after a foul ball, just you put your arm back to get the ball, and he accidentally pulled his glove too soon. He thought he had the ball in his hand, and the ump thought he did that on purpose, and so he tossed him right there and then for like deking him out. While not seeing he
Hey.
couldn't see the ump. Couldn't see the ump. Couldn't see anything. None. He's like, nope. Here in the spring training game, 3 days before the regular season, we're gonna toss you right now.
The
I
disrespect.
love how the Annalise is just crumbling around the Braves already.
Speaking of disrespect, let's talk about baseball's 2-1 series win over Clemson. First up, they've pitched a well, kind of pitched a 4-3, 11-inning win on Friday. 16-3 blowout win on Saturday, and then in nice reverse fashion, a 14-5 loss
This
in
keeps
the
happening.
Sunday game.
This keeps happening.
It's the
Yeah.
weirdest thing. In the Friday game, I don't have the box score in front of me, but in the Friday game, I think Tech doubled up Clemson on just hits.
I'll find it.
Obviously not runs, because it ended up having to be a walk-off by by Mr.
Despina.
Despina, but just it ended up go it was like 21-11 or something dumb like that in
Yeah,
terms of hits.
Tech had 11 hits to Clemson's 4. It was nearly a
Okay.
tripling.
Yeah. Well,
That was
they
close.
did the whole like strand them on the base paths things, and this is
Actually,
the
Tech
same
did
thing we
that.
saw against Wofford, a game that
I
until
know.
some stuff came up Tuesday, I was supposed to be. It's been a heck of a week, personal wise,
14 left on base in that
but
first Clemson game. Clemson also left 10 on base in that game, so that was
yeah.
a equally atrocious performance in that sense. But
Well,
yeah,
the
pretty
Wofford thing
interesting.
reminds me that we have not mentioned that game, and I refuse to mention that game,
Oh, I
but
didn't even put that in the sheet. Yeah, let's not put that. Let's not
yeah, I
mention
don't want
that.
to talk about it. But this weekend was just a very like very interesting series between two teams that I feel are kind of evenly matched. I think Clemson is probably a little worse on the whole. I think their hitting is definitely weaker. Their pitching is probably more or less equivalent. But
yeah, I was definitely under the impression like these guys are still powerhouses in my circa 2015 college baseball brain.
They had lost track that they got bad,
but
kind of like they lost Seth Beer, and then it just kind of went downhill from there.
I only recognize his name because I play the show.
He went to his high school played mine. This is actually going to dox me, but his high school played mine in a state championship series. I guess that's public information. That doesn't matter. Yeah, like Clemson baseball has dipped the last couple of years. Like, who was their guy? Like Monty Lee was the head coach there until last year, and they canned him at the end of the year because they failed to make the tournament
again.
And, yeah, they've had a rough stretch.
Gotcha.
Which is weird because they're one of the powerhouses, like historically in the ACC, which is probably what their fans were thinking as well.
Right. Right. So firing Monty Lee doesn't really like. I mean, it makes more sense than it is a surprise, right? Like, yeah. But to get back to the actual series, instead of talking about the context, 4-3. Like I said, 4-3 win on Friday. Despina walk off. I think it was a walk off double. Rubenstein RBI single to tie it in the eighth inning. Dawson Brown was a starter, came in with like a 9+ ERA and pitched pretty well.
Yeah, he pitched.
Does anyone have the actual line in front of
him? Yeah, let me pull it back up. He went 4 innings, 2 hits, no earned runs, no runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts, and with 61 pitches over 15 batters.
Nice.
Not bad.
It went Ben King, Cameron Hill, Jackson Vaughn, Terry Busey. Busey had to do a 2-inning stretch there. Everyone threw at least 33 pitches, anywhere from 33 to 40 pitches between King, Hill, Vaughn, and Busey. So just next man up in the bullpen that day.
I got some bad news. I was just going to look at the nitty gritty, and we are just parked at like 62 in terms of RPI. So in terms of expectations, I don't think we're doing ourselves many favors with the whole drop the Sunday game in tremendous fashion type deal. Or the equivalent of the Sunday game, if you will, against Notre Dame. But, you know, the Jets are going to have to – they've got their work cut out for them at this point. In terms of, you know, contests, obviously, we're really only like halfway through the year. And, you know, you still got Virginia, Boston College, Miami, and another Auburn game on the slate. Those are all top 25 RPI teams right now at plus series against North Carolina and Duke. And then some opportunities to rack up wins lower on the schedule. But, I mean – I would say that they certainly do, you know, just to be kind, have their work cut out for them. But they, I mean, at the same time, with how inconsistent we've seen, you know, pitching, with how injured the team has been. I mean, Drew Compton, he's just finally waking up with his first home run of the young season. I guess the halfway over almost season.
His young season.
It's still young season. But yeah, I think between injuries and pitching. Like, I don't know. Are we thinking that they're at, you know, at 16-8? Is this what we were feeling coming into the year? I feel like it, you know, other than maybe the Wofford game, it kind of tracks. Like, you only lost one ACC series so far, and
we
picked up a game against a good Louisville team.
We said, like, we saw the front part of that schedule. We did the season preview, and it's like, you got to win your games early because it's not going to get easy after that. It's a gauntlet. And maybe I think there's a couple more wins here and there that we could pick up. Certainly Wofford's one of them. They got guys on base and just could not for the life of them get a 2-strike hit or a 2-out hit. So beyond that, I think it's mostly tracking. It's just as we keep talking about, the variance of how big they're winning and losing by is just confounding at times. And it makes that record feel shakier than it actually is.
I will say, in Wofford's defense, they are currently sitting at 40 in RPI right now. So it's not like it's a, you know, a bad team or anything like that by any means. That, I mean, 40 is a great
place. And we thought they were going to steal all over us. And they, I think, only stole like one or two bases on like pass balls and stuff like that. Like, they did not get over Rubenstein at all.
Yeah, they scheduled well in the non-con. Cincinnati, that's a program that's turned out major leaguers. They got Southern Illinois, which is a pretty solid Missouri Valley team. They lost close to UGA. They're still to play Tennessee and at Wake Forest. Like, this is a team that's scheduled itself.
Wow. Yeah, there you
I'd
go.
say pretty well, but still we're going to have to, you know, what do they say? Win every weekend. That's something Tech still would ideally do coming up.
Yeah. Just to round out the other couple games. We talked about Saturday being a 16-3 win. You mentioned the Sunday game being a lopsided loss too. Saturday was, I mean, it was a very fun game because it was just kind of Tech teeing off on some bad Clemson relievers.
Yeah.
Two Jake DeLeo homers. Luke
two Jake DeLeo doubles, too.
He was on fire this weekend. Pitching was pretty good, too. Obviously, if you only let three runs in when you put up 16, you're doing something right. Luke Schmoelke, like I said, career long five innings. Noah Samuel came in. Allowed one hit in two innings to finish. Jake DeLeo collected a bunch more hits in the Sunday game. It was hitting 500 on the weekend. You have mentioned here that he picked up ACC Player of the Week honors. So
I think that's what they said on the website. Let me make sure it was. Maybe it was national. It could be national. I could be downplaying this just based on the fact that I haven't clicked the news tab. Now I've clicked it, and it doesn't come up. What the heck? This is annoying. Oh, there it is. Yep, ACC Player of the Week. Indeed. So there you go.
Works for me. Just to talk about their upcoming schedule real quick. But Jake, you sound like you have one more note that you want to add.
No, I was going to say, remind me, I have a really poignant point I need to make about scheduling and just playing the games against hard teams and how that translates to tournament. And it will make more sense when we have the flavor of softball, who also played Clemson this weekend, in there as well. Cause I think it'll touch both points, but it'll make sense with that context better.
We'll circle back to it. Like, this is a work meeting. Anyway, upcoming for Georgia Tech baseball, they'll visit Couray Field in Gwinnett to play Georgia State in a rivalry series. And then they'll head over to Chestnut Hill and to play Boston College for a three-game set this weekend. Let's flip over.
The weather is awful for Chestnut Hill. 48 degree high on Friday, 80% chance of rain on Saturday, and a 49 high on Sunday. So
that's not bad for Boston.
I know it's not. It could be worse, but they're gonna get maybe a rain out. It's 40% chance of rain on Friday, so they may end up playing two games, maybe one game if things don't go their way.
Well, yeah. Better win the one game.
I mean, Boston College is a shockingly good team this year, too, if we want to talk about that briefly before moving on.
Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say they're a surprisingly good team. I believe they're sitting at, I think, seventh in the adjusted RPI. I would quote our ranking, but my computer is telling me, please wait. So if I can stall for 10 more seconds, I'll let you know. Otherwise, we'll circle back on that.
They're good. We just know they're good. They're good.
They're good. They're ranked by D1 baseball behind like 90 million SEC teams because that's what they do. You know, they're I think they're like top 20, 17th or something like that last I checked. So pretty good place to be for a team that people haven't really expected much out of up there.
If you don't have the USI rank for BC, we can flip right on over to men's tennis. Talk about some action at Ken Byers Tennis Complex versus number 11 North Carolina and number 15 Duke. Mr. Purdy, 5-2 loss to North Carolina to start the weekend.
Yeah, not the greatest. Martin McDaniel, they're currently the 20th ranked double squad. They face the 19th ranked double squad in Segerman and Konya. And they went down 6-4, and then the second line of doubles lost 7-5. So kind of close there. The third line did win their match 6-4, so it came down to the second line of Chopra and Sakhtiv. They did not pull it off. And then singles-wise, Martin, he won his match. Chopra won his match, but that was it. So only so much there. There was five, I'm reading, there were six singles-ranked players here. Tech having three of them between Martin McDaniel and Chopra. They each had three. Okay, there you go. So all the higher ranked people won in this scenario, or the ranked ones. I was at the Duke match that Sunday though, where that was a crazy, crazy bit. Jake, tell me something before I go there.
I was just gonna say, just for color, Tech is back up into the top 75 if we're talking rankings as a team basis. Obviously, we know that the opponents are very good because they're always very good.
ECs,
but yeah,
Tech, Country Club Sports.
Tech, yeah, they're back in the top 75, but we'll talk about stacking up wins in a little bit here.
Yeah. Duke was it was a really fun environment. It was raining. It was part of that crazy stormy day we had on Sunday in Midtown. So they put that inside, pushed the baseball games back a couple hours on their starts. Martin and McDaniel, let's say the second line for Duke won, but every match was 5-5 in doubles all at the same time. Like, they were pacing at the exact same rate the entire way. And then Duke pulled out a break at the end to win 6-4. And then Martin and McDaniel's line and Chokra and McKinney's line went to a tiebreak at the exact same time. And Martin McDaniel just barely lost 7-5 in their tiebreak, while the third line was at 5-5 in their tiebreak. So it was down to the absolute wire, point by point, watching both courts. And I think that kind of took the gas out of them a little bit, because that was a heartbreaking loss there. Martin did win his match over the Duke 17th-ranked top-line player, whose first name I don't know, but his last name is Johns. So he played really well there after going down 2-0 at the start of the set. But Duke was able to pull off the rest of the pretty easily. It was kind of close. They played out the third and fourth, or the third and fourth lines, even though the match was over already, or fifth and third lines. Sorry. So, it was close until it wasn't, basically. But they played really, really well, given the circumstances. That would have been a big win. And I think if they pull off those doubles matches, we might be talking about a very big different day based on the emotions in the room.
And this is something where this team has just gotten consistently unlucky over the last 2 years. I think this is a point that we've hit a bunch of times where they get into these positions and just either whether it's time or they need a couple more sets or what have you. And it's just, well, I guess in this case, it's points and not sets or games. I don't know. Tennis is hard.
Those are correct terminology. They just need a little bit more
time. They just needed a little bit more time.
Time is not one of the terminologies.
Well, it sucks. they needed a couple more. God, I was going to say breaks, but even that's tennis time.
I did talk to a guy who's helping with the tennis team, but they have Swing Vision installed now, so they're like doing some deeper dive analytics stuff for both teams now.
I've seen some of the video from that. They put it on, I think, Instagram, where they have the players sort of running, and you can see the iPad in the corner of the video just plotting the the positions where they're taking shots from and the movement. So it's very
that's how it's explained to me. Interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really cool technology, I hope. But they are using it to optimize for this playmaking.
Well, and that's the great thing about tennis, track, and swim and dive using the same facilities, is with an investment like that, it kind of pays double, right? So if you're the women and you can use that, and the men, you can use that, right? That's, I get it, the teams are smaller, so maybe it's not a one-to-one. But in terms of ROI, like it seems like a money in the bank kind of deal.
Isn't that supposed to be a wrestling thing? Money in the bank? Isn't it's like involves a briefcase and a cage.
I do not watch pro wrestling. Do I? No,
you don't wrestle.
I don't think I've ever seen any pro wrestling, so I would not know. But
you're not All Elite, Mr. Grant.
No, I'm too busy fixing the USI, which is now fixed. So good news on that, but.
Just to round out men's tennis' schedule, they will be at FSU this weekend, and then they will also – I think this is a host Miami, or is it a play at Miami?
It should be at for both of them. That it's travel partners. So if they're at FSU, then they're at Miami as well. Oh, wait, I have it up. Duh. Yeah, they're at both 5:30 p.m. Friday in Tallahassee, and then 12 p.m. in beautiful, breezy Coral Gables.
Yikes.
I was going to say one more second on that. Miami's ranked 42 by the ITA. And then where is Florida State? Florida State's a little higher. They're up at 17. So tougher, not as tough as the teams we have been seeing. You know, if they win that Miami game, that's a good one to have in pocket. But if I can dream, both of them would be nice.
Let's flip over to the women's side. I think the women are still in the bottom part of the top 25, and they picked up a top 25 win this weekend over number 24 UCF, a 4-3 win. Mr. Grant, what do you got for me on this one?
Yeah, not a ton. I mean, it was a relatively quiet weekend for them, I'd say. UCF is a good team, though, as noted.
Yeah,
They're
this
kind
was
of
like a
pretty.
Wednesday match. They didn't play at all this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Wednesday, wasn't it? And that was
Yeah,
at
it
home,
was.
right?
It was at
Wednesday
home.
is
Yeah, it was.
basically the weekend.
Yeah, it
Because
was
Rondo
been.
is just
No,
rocking it
I know they
by.
weren't playing because they were at the men's match. I was sitting by them.
Hey, must be UCF's open date too. But slotting them in is a great out of conference pickup. I feel like we either get in tennis SEC teams or just like low majors that you should pummel. And it's good to see them kind of slotting in a competitive team. Not bad by any stretch of the imagination. In terms of results, though, Alejandro Cruz, ACC Co-Player of the Week. It was a win 4-3. Again, I think it's pretty reinforcing that UCF is right in our neighborhood. Georgia Tech did sweep through the doubles. They had not finished on the third court at the time Tech won. Oh, wait. What? Check. Am I reading this right? There was a walkover on three?
Yes.
Oh.
And on
Well.
six and singles.
So, okay, just
That's
to do good
kind of.
podcasting, define walkover for the class.
Yes, that means that the either the opponent basically didn't show, or they just didn't want to put up a line there, or they weren't healthy, like they just weren't healthy and just basically didn't play. That's basically a term for the match wasn't played. The game was already given.
They literally must have only brought six athletes then. I haven't seen that in years. But
Yeah, I don't know what the
anyways,
deal was there. I wonder if they had someone and then there was a, because
they
they
must
had,
have
cause
gone.
they played five in singles, so I wonder if someone got hurt like right before or like thought they could play and then didn't, and so that killed a whole doubles line and just one singles line.
Yeah, I mean they were still playing on one at the time, so you'd think that court three was contested at some point. So odd. Like I said, I haven't seen that in forever. You don't usually travel if you're not going to be able to play. But
I mean, mathematically,
hey,
they could have still won with just if they won four singles matches. So they had a shot.
interesting.
Nearly and nearly did it. And nearly did it. It was 4-3, so.
I'm surprised we hadn't seen more about that. But anyways, singles were, obviously we had the walkover on six, in which case UCF did win three of the five singles courts that were contested, with Tech winning on one and two. No real ranked opponents for UCF, from what I can tell. Mahakshane and Alejandro Cruz did lose on three and four, as well as Rosie Garcia Gross on five. Cruz and Garcia Gross were three sets apiece there, and then Mahakshane was a loss in two. So pretty tight match. Honestly, shows that I should have read down the rest of the results before I started talking. I didn't see that the second one was a walkover too. But that's wild. They have UVA and Virginia Tech up next, though. And Virginia is very good, top 10 ITA ranking there for them. And then I think Virginia Tech's kind of at the bottom. Yeah, 64th in the rankings. I was like, I'm scrolling. I saw them when I was researching.
We're finally not going to
But
get pummeled by another ACC team, finally.
well, we might get pummeled first, but top 10,
A break.
it's doable, but. Yeah.
The only note I have on this is that it's very funny to see just two results in the order finish, just the walkover, and
Yes.
then they won
Yes.
6-2 in the
Yes.
second
It all
doubles
and
court.
all Jack Tech only needed to win one match there to do it, so I mean to mathematically
So
win that.
weird. I wonder what happened. I wish we had some more information.
I will
Let's.
say, before we move on, Tech is 10 and 6 overall on the women's side, and I believe 11 and 9 on the men's side. So, pretty, I'd say, sort of comfortable on the women's. Men are going to need to do some work to get into the tournament field. So,
Yeah.
just for some perspective.
Wow, we really are at the halfway point for all these seasons, huh?
It's
Well,
March.
this is March, as John Rothstein reminds us. Let's talk about volleyball real quick. They are playing a couple of scrimmages and then over the course of April, starting with a three-match set on the first. No April Fool's joke here. They will face Kennesaw at 10, Tennessee at 11:15, probably pending the finish of the Kennesaw game. And then Florida at 4:15. There's probably a whole rotation system here between the games at in actual O'Keefe
Yeah.
and Zelnak. And you said
But
freshman
Tech's
Jim.
in O'Keefe for all three, though, I will say.
Yeah, Tech plays an okay for all of them. They put like a whole detailed schedule out because the other teams showing up are North Florida, Georgia Southern, Auburn, Troy, Georgia State, and Mercer will be between Zeldak and the freshman gym. Just Tech's
We
matches
just
are
have the
happening
best
in
facilities for this,
O'Keefe.
is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
The 15th will feature Middle Tennessee at 12:15 and Athens at 4. And then on the 22nd of April, Tech will go to Auburn to play its final scrimmage. So a nice little schedule. Florida and Tennessee are probably the big names on here in terms of competition, in terms of like nationally impactful competition.
Well, look at the 4:15. I mean, we got UGA and Auburn too. We're playing a good chunk of the SEC. I think they'll get plenty of looks in there.
We're playing the locals. We're just playing the locals. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just saying like your top line, you're like a national contender kind of like Florida is definitely your national contender out of this entire set. But I've definitely heard Tennessee's name a little bit.
I don't know if y'all saw, but Pitt right now, my friend Abby Schnadley put up an article at the Pitt Gazette. They can't play like a full scrimmage against each other because they don't have 12 people on campus right now that are on their roster because so many people graduated in the fall.
So I feel so bad.
I know.
For Pitt.
I find it so funny that the Final Four team literally only has like 8 people right now on campus that are on their volleyball team and how they're practicing. I just find that
I really hope the Twitter internet friend of ours, what is it, ACC Volleyball Talk, puts together that spreadsheet of departures again. That was very useful in prepping last year.
I think, yeah, that'd be really cool to see. It's just how much turnover Pitt had. Yeah, I haven't done much research on the turnover that's going to be happening and who all was seniors and super seniors this year in the ACC, but if there's only 6 people playing for Pitt right now, there's certainly a high level, at least in one of the national powerhouses.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that balance of power shakes out as, like you said, as these teams age out.
Right,
like
yeah,
Tech,
I mean, we're seeing
Tech
the basketball.
Tech is also going, you saw it in basketball, like you said, Tech is also going to lose like most of that core from that the first tournament team. And now you're starting to see like Louisville and Pitt also have upperclassmen issues. Like it's not really issues, but people age out. So does the depth of these rosters make them still contenders at the national level? Like that conversation is going to be really interesting heading into 23.
Yeah.
We'll have a couple more interesting conversations about softball, swim and dive, and track and field right after this short break.
Well, I'm not going to bury the lead this week. It is a big new week for Section 103 in terms of apparel. Junior's Grill, a Tech tradition, which between the three of us, sadly, we're never able to take part in. But Section 103 has put out a Junior's Grill shirt.
Yay.
I, for one, would love the opportunity to go to Junior's Grill. And I've said that on this podcast many, many times. And it makes me sad that I've never been. But now you can support them with a fine T-shirt. Again, that's, 60 plus years of Tech tradition right there. A portion of sales will be donated to Tommy Clemens's on-campus food bank for students with food insecurities, Clemens Kitchen. We worked with them when we were in school. I know Akshay, and I can't say enough good things about what he's doing with that. Terribly sad to lose the grill, but in terms of giving back and impact in a way that lasts for a long time and goes way outside the borders, that is a very, very noble cause there. So keep your eye on that. Junior's Grill is now on sale and it's in gorgeous navy heathery looking color and with the Junior's light blue neon looking font. So take a look there, section103.com and at section103 this week and every week. We appreciate their support and love their products. Go check them out.
Welcome back to Signs of the Southland for Monday, March 27th. Let's talk about softball for as little time as possible because, oh my God, so much blood. Oh
that
my God, so much blood.
The top heavy nature of the NCAA softball world really reared its head this weekend.
Well, what did we say? This is the first of three. So it's, second of three. We said it was first of three last week. So it's just going to be tough going to Tallahassee next week. All right. I was going to say this earlier because I was going to make a point about losing in in conference play, I guess, but you know, in general, losing to good teams in baseball and softball and the effect that it has on the RPI and how the numbers, if you will, that go into tournament selection see a team. Boys, do you remember where Tech was sitting about a week ago in strength of schedule for the softball side?
Pretty good. I think it was like top 25.
I mean, I wrote an article about this, so I know it's somewhere between 25 and 35.
It's 22. So, you know, pretty good. They were a little bit lower than that before. And I want you to guess, in the last week, what do you think their strength of schedule is at now?
Based on Massey, what did I say? I think I got the 28th was what they said, was what I had on there. Based on Massey, that's what I wrote. It's on our website, dude.
Yeah. I'm going off the nitty gritty here. Strength of schedule.
What's the nitty gritty? That doesn't mean anything to me.
It's the NCAA's official site, bro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
10.
It's.
Jesus. Five?
Five. Playing Clemson single-handedly vaulted Tech from 22nd in schedule difficulty, along with 53 in RPI. And then they did win the midweek. And as of today, or I guess end of day yesterday, they are at fifth in strength of schedule and 39th in RPI. That single-handedly, woo, losing three games put them solidly on the bubble for the tournament.
That's incredible.
Which is bizarre. It is,
I was kind of wondering. Like,
purely
this,
bizarre.
That was the thing that after I was looking at some of the numbers, it's like, it doesn't seem like we're like losing to the wrong. We've beat some teams that are around us. We're losing to the teams that we should be getting demolished by and then winning everything else. And there's only, and if there's going to be 64 teams that make it, it's like we're kind of in that bubble range already. At least, I mean, the season's still got a while to go. We got a month to go here to get some, to pick up some, any kind of surprising win would be fantastic at this point. But that's kind of the feel I got, was like, okay, they're not playing themselves out of this. They're just getting killed by teams that would kill literally anyone in their path unless it was Oklahoma.
Yeah. I will say the USI is not quite as reactive as the RPI is. There's some weights in there to make it come up a little bit slower, but they're still trending up in that too. I think I have them right around 60 in our in-house metrics there. But I mean, it just goes to show what playing a good team does. I mean, they play close. Well, not so much on Sunday, but nope. In terms of, I mean, Clemson's been a juggernaut. It is ridiculous, almost borderline unfair how good Clemson is after such a short time of, you know, existing. And yeah, Tech got run ruled twice. It was ugly on Sunday. 13-0 is never a fun way to lose a game. But I'm pretty sure the four runs Tech scored on Saturday is the most anyone scored on Clemson all year. I'm
keep
very
rambling.
Certain
I'll
that
find
I saw
out.
That.
D1 softball was also very excited when Tech brought it, or I think tied it like halfway through. And then everything kind of went to hell from there. I think Tech brought it from like, Tech was like 4-0 down and then brought it to 4-4. And then the final score was like 8-4.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
Four isn't, it's the most. Yep.
Yeah. I was going to say per the Clemson's detailed, season summary, I'm kind of astonished their RPI is only at 9, but they, I mean, they're 5 in the country. I think they're playing about as well as anyone could theoretically play. You know, I mean, they're beating teams solidly that are, you know, top 10 ranked type teams, and they're throttling the non-con. So
yeah, their only loss was at a tournament setting to Tennessee, where they lost 1-0. So they got pitchers dueled.
Northwestern's a top 15, top 10 team, and they beat them 15-2. Like, it's nuts.
You never know what can happen.
Yeah, Northwestern being a top 15 team in a sport is definitely nuts.
Yes, also that.
Certainly not in baseball this year. Certainly not. But that's a
different podcast. I know that I should not disrespect the very good Northwestern softball team, but I saw an opportunity to make fun of Northwestern.
Let's keep in mind, but in aggregate, they lost 18. Clemson beat them 18-4.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And that's a very good Northwestern softball team. Very good team.
It's a wild, wild. God, they're also doing this with women's lacrosse now too, Clemson is. And it just makes me so This is going to be, if we had like a very large like national listenership, this would get clipped against me. But it makes me so upset that they're so immediately good about at both of these sports, especially considering the concentration of talent that they are most likely pulling from the Atlanta Metro. That if Tech
Right.
had
Yeah.
programs for this, Tech would also be pulling from. So
I
whatever. Just
yeah, there's
realized.
a I'm just doing a quick scan of Clemson's roster, and yeah, there's plenty of Georgians here that very well could be playing for Tech if they just pulled them. I don't know, two people from Buford, Evans, Georgia, Macon, Georgia. Yeah, it's like yeah, it's all over. They're pulling from everywhere you would think the Clemson Tigers would pull from as a now very popular athletic school with lots of money to spend on their athletes.
Two.
Big
I'm
depressing
doing some
fact.
counting. You guys need to vamp for just a
I got
minute
one more
so I can
thing.
keep.
Well, technically,
Okay.
Jack has one more thing. Any other news or updates,
Yeah,
Mr. Crespery?
that the blowout on Sunday. At that point, I think it was. I got to. It got to the. It was got to where it was clear the run rule was going to happen. After Voyles and Dennis pitched, so Eileen put Jaden Studebaker in, who's our fr one of our freshman pitchers who hadn't come in yet this year, and put her in against Valerie Cagle, who was Clemson's, I think, her their batting average leader, but also their star ace, who's throwing 0.59 ERA at least coming into Sunday. And on the third pitch, I want to say she took her yard about 280 feet over the trees, dead center. Like it was, I'd seen some like kind of tomahawk swings, but this was a swing that like the most bat speed I had seen anyone swing with this year. And that ball just had I wish I had the exit velo on that, because everyone was just like, oh my God. And those that knew it was Studebaker's first at bat pitching was like, that sucks. Thankfully, it's pretty much all up from here for her. But that I just felt bad for Studebaker that that's how she got welcomed into co collegiate softball in a real game.
So, gents, I got one more thing because I Clemson softball is rent-free in my head. They've won 19 games so far this year at home. Their streak is longer than 19 games. I can tell you, or you can guess, but over the last, I guess it's about three full seasons now, if you count the half COVID season. I want you to guess how many total games Clemson has lost at home in parts of four seasons.
Parts of four seasons. Four?
No, it's higher than that,
Oh,
but
okay.
it's not that much higher.
Not that. Oh, like seven?
I'm still a little high. It's
Oh,
11 games. It's
okay.
11 games. I'll
That's
put it for perspective. I'll put
still
it for
very few.
perspective. In the last calendar year, the last calendar year, they have lost at home to the day twice. And that second one
My
was
goodness.
exactly a year ago today, which I know because I was at that game in person.
Yeah,
It
that's yeah. That's
when Akshay
domination.
says it's unfair what they did, it's not
It's so
unfair. Like
dumb.
they
I
played it by
mean,
the rules,
they
but
play
it
by the
is.
rules. They already have a very, very exciting a fan base that will cheer for anything
Oh yeah.
and go nuts. So like I don't doubt that they created a home field advantage out of nothing
It's
because they
so
have the
dumb.
support to do it.
They
So
sold out every game last year.
I mean, sucks for the rest of the ACC. Great for softball as a whole.
Have we
Yeah, I
all
mean, it's
watched?
something the conference needed.
Like we've all watched
Glass Onion, right? We've all watched
Yes,
Glass
we have.
Onion.
Yes.
Do you remember
If
the
you
scene
haven't and
near
you're
the end?
listening, go watch it. But anyways,
This is not going to be a
spoilers.
spoiler, but
Okay.
I don't think this is going to be a spoiler. But there's a scene at the end where Benoit Blanc is like, "It's so dumb," and he puts his hands into his pockets
Yes.
because he's just
Yes.
tired with the
Yes, I know what
situation.
you're
And
talking about.
another character is like,
Yes.
"Oh,
Dumb.
it's so
It's so
dumb. It's
dumb. It's
brilliant."
brilliant.
He's like, "No, it's just dumb." And this is how I feel about Clemson softball and women's lacrosse being good. It's so dumb.
Oh,
It's
you know
so
what the thing
dumb.
that gets me going more than any, and people who have listened to this
Oh,
podcast for more than a week, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, he's about to talk about Clemson swimming. They killed Clemson swimming
no. Oh,
for no
no.
reason. And then they're good at these two sports that they just like whipped up out of the blue. Like and that's what money does, right? And that shows what having an investment in other programs does. And I think that shows the value of it, right? And I think that's something that for all of his faults, if we want to go here, Todd Stansbury at least tried to do that. And I think it's something that paid dividends in terms of what you saw for women's basketball, volleyball, and
Every
men's and
team
women's
making the
swim and
NCAA
dive,
portion last
like
year.
Yeah, like and the men's side of swimming, you saw baseball hit a top three. Like you just got to invest, right? And
Yep.
support folks, and whether that's, you know, the tennis tracking that they're doing or whatnot, it just got to keep it up. And honestly, there's some bit of it that's harder to do it with a team that's already established and has, you know, an opinion out there. Like Clemson softball was a blank slate, and Eli Morales was turning a big ship, and I think that the fact that they're in the mix and have a lot of territory left to run, you know, there's a lot of potential out there. I don't want it to seem like, you know, the sky is falling or anything silly like that. Like there's a yeah. lot of season left here, and yeah. they're doing themselves all right.
I'll point to my article that I put up yesterday about the team. But they're 31 games in. They're well behind win loss record. They're 16-15 right now, and they were 22-9 through 31 last year. So it's definitely not the same. But I mean, as we mentioned, the schedule has just been brutal so far. We'll see how it plays out. They're going to need to get some wins. But yeah, I think we talked a lot about softball for not wanting to talk a lot about softball.
Yeah, well, that's how this goes.
So much blood. So much blood. Talking about their schedule a little bit more, they'll play KSU on Tuesday at 6 p.m., or I guess today when you're hearing this. And then they'll, play a fun little weekend series in Tallahassee. I'm sure that'll be amazing for
both
everyone.
Both men's tennis and softball will be at FSU this weekend.
I hope they fly on the same plane. That'd be pretty fun.
I think they just drive this one. It's only 5 hours.
That's disgusting. That's far too long to drive.
I have a random softball observation.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with Georgia Tech.
Okay.
Go.
Miami of Ohio somehow convinced Oklahoma to go on the road to Oxford, Ohio in April. I just putting that out there. Oklahoma, the by far and away best team on the planet for what, 3 years running now?
Something like that.
I think they've lost like what, four games in the last three seasons?
Only
something
one
insane
this year.
Like that is going on the road to Oxford, Ohio. Sorry, I just saw that flipping over, and the world needed to know. They've lost four games in the last two seasons, and they're going to a MAC team on the road. Anyways, cool. go do with that with what you will.
Let's go in the opposite direction. Well, closer to Ohio, but opposite direction from Tallahassee. Let's talk about what happened in Minneapolis for the men's swim and dive championships. Mr. Purdy, take the wheel.
The Turkish contingent was in Minneapolis of Batıranlı, Berkaysakka, and Mert Kilavuts. Looking at the times, only Batır's 500 free really made a dent in anything. Otherwise, everything was slow and very slow just across the board. They only had three swimmers, so they did not have any relays. But that 200 free that Batır swims, he qualified 14th in prelims and stayed at 14th with a 4:14.74, which got him an honorable All-American time. And then was 20th in the 200 free. And then Berkaysakka is the only other notable big one here, is he was... he had a pretty good ranking going into prelims for the 200 back, and then finished like a few hundredths behind in 17th as the first alternate for the consolation final, which no one scratches at NCAAs, at least in finals. So he did not make finals in that, and then had pretty disappointing showings in his 200 IM and 100 back. Mert Kilavuz finished 20th in the 1650 free, so not bad there. 31st in the 500 free. So diving wise, Ruben Lechuga was 32nd in the 1 meter, did not make it back to finals, and then Elijah Clyer was going to do platform but withdrew. So not our splashiest showing. Every relay time was overall every relay time was broken. So that was a crazy meet there. My friend Liam got third in prelims in 100 breast, fell off a little bit. I think he finished 6th. So I mean, it was a very fast meet again. There's still a lot of fifth years lingering in there. Youssef Ramadan won I forgot what event he won, but Virginia Tech got their first ever individual event win at NCAAs, so that was cool to see. Cal won the whole meet, back-to-back champs, so it was a lot of the, if you watched last year's meet, it was kind of a lot of the same, honestly. All the same, most of the same characters were there. Tech minus their fifth years from last year, definitely took a step down, but I mean, they kind of knew that that was kind of going to be the case because they were everyone else on that team that made finals were freshmen. So it's a glad we're there, but it's we're definitely still reloading with the Turkish kids. We got someone for us. So on to next year.
Mr. Grant, anything to add?
Nope, not too much there. It was a pretty quiet week, I'd say, all things considered. Feels like they really peaked at ACCs, and they got some swims in Minneapolis, which again is a great venue. So that's about all I can say there.
Oh, I'll note one of the relay times that was broken. It was a Florida relay time, but it was the last record, NCAA record, that was still swum in the super suits, the full body suits for guys. So now every record that's on the NCAA board is in the current suit regulations, not those crazy body suits we saw in Beijing where records got smashed by a little too much.
Yeah.
I miss the super suits. I love the controversy. It was so messy. It was great. It was great drama. Speaking of some more, you know, a more exciting weekend. We had one on the track. It was a split squad weekend. There was a group in Raleigh and there was a group in Tallahassee. Mr. Grant, you have the details.
Yeah, I think it's probably safe to say that the trip to Florida State came home with more medal or more notable finishes. There were three first place finishes out in Tallahassee. There was a sixth place up in Raleigh. Before I move on from that, that was Helena Lindsay going to 10:14.67 in the 3,000 meter steeplechase, which is probably the most interesting event in track, at least in my humble opinion. So that's fun, at least. But like I said, three first place finishes in Florida State at Florida State's relays. That's Cameron O'Neill in the long jump, Jameer Gibson in the shot put, John Watkins in the triple jump. Jameer Gibson also got third and broke the school record in the discus. So yeah, for you know, transfer just jumping right in and making the most of it as the while being an engineer. So you know, that's a lot. Yep. Then they've got. They saw Miles Collins and Reagan Mahoney finish second in the 1500 meters and 800 meters, respectively. They also saw Chris Chirano and Gracie Marston finish third, respectively, in each event. So kind of a wild parallel there. Shanti Papacosta got second in the high jump, and then rounding out the notables, Bradley Favors got fourth in the 200 meter. So really a solid weekend down in Florida State, and always good to see some folks finishing towards the top of the pile there, if you will.
Pretty good stuff. Anything to add, Mr. Purdy?
Not at all. I did not really track any of this, so glad we're making strides here, too.
Let's round up with a couple of things that Mr. Purdy might enjoy. Golf finished up at Linger Longer in second place. Chris O'Langbrick finished second. Three other Yellow Jackets were tied for third, so that's a pretty good finish. I don't have the field in front of me, but if I remember from last week, it was a pretty competitive field. So pretty impressed finish there. Survivor is our final major update of the week. Mr. Purdy, what you got?
My goodness, this is my favorite writing assignment that I gave myself. That's every week. I'm putting up articles on Thursday, tracking Survivor. I see a couple people have commented that they're reading the articles but not watching the show, but they like the articles enough to read them. So that's cool. I'll take it. It boosts our numbers. It makes me feel good. So if you haven't heard, current Georgia Tech student Carson Garrett, who's an aerospace student at Tech right now, was on the current season of Survivor that's airing. They filmed last summer in Fiji, and he's out there and playing. They're very much playing the "I'm a smart person, but I have to keep it secret" kind of games player so far. He had a big shakeup in his game last week, so it's been very exciting. I have a whole text thread that goes bonkers between 8 and 9 p.m. on Wednesdays now. So it's a fun time. If you haven't watched the show, it still lives up to how good it is. There's a lot of stuff that's gone on that's changed the game, but you can dive right in at any point and still be just fine. So it's a fun time. It's on Paramount. It's on CBS over the air, you know, like normal television. They put on normal television. Is CBS normal television anymore?
Yes, yeah. It is still OTA. Yes.
Okay, yeah. There we go. I don't know if we defaulted to streaming as normal so far.
So comment on the normal television thing.
Yeah.
Remember when the networks, so CBS, Fox, NBC, ABC, used to like have a website where you could get like the three most recent episodes of a show, such as Survivor or...
I mean, they still have that. Yeah,
13.
That was Hulu
Race.
In like 2013.
Oh my god! No. Like CBS.com, you had to watch a bunch of ads, but you could catch up on like three episodes. It was great. Yeah. It was great.
It's harder now, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. thank you for indulging me, as always.
It's a good time. I watch if you have it. I think I don't have any clues as to how far he'll make it or anything like that, but there's if you're on Survivor Reddit, like apparently like people claim that there's an edit that exists to like frame the winner. The show has said that there's no truth to that, but he's definitely getting a storyline that doesn't make it seem like it's gonna get snuffed anytime soon. So I think we got some episodes here, and I have more words to write about this guy, so I'm happy.
Unfortunately for us, this episode is about to be snuffed real soon. I think that about wraps it up for us this week. Anything else, gents, before we walk out of here?
I'm going to the
I
beach
just
next week, so I might not be here on this here lovely podcast.
I'll be here provided the podcast still exists. So,
You
you'll
know,
catch me in Akshay
heat
like
death of
old
the
times.
universe aside, I think we will still be here.
In terms of everything else from us, it's the usual. Thanks again for tuning in for our 162, and we'll see you again at many milestones before then. Anyways, website comments from therumbleseat.com. You can email us at fromtherumbleseat@gmail.com, and you can find us on Twitter at FTRS blog. You know to find Jack and myself, but that's at JGrant98 and at Jack Nicholas. You can find Section 103 at Section 103 on Twitter as well, or at section103.com. They're a great partner. Go check out the Junior Squirrel shirt. Again, goes to great cause there too. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at From the Rumble Seat, and you can find this podcast wherever fine podcasts are distributed. Rate, review, please do. We like hearing your thoughts and opinions, and all that is super duper appreciated. So just let us know what you're thinking. Send us an email and reach out. In the meantime, good night, good luck, and go Jackets.